Hello, and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, December 1st, 2020.
Everything's down. Bitcoin's at 18,863, down about 2.5%. Ethereum's down 2.5% to 595. Gosh, I was hoping it would be over 20K today, but we'll just have to keep on waiting.
All right. Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting and crypto invoicing. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. First up, we have the Ethereum 2.0 go live. Pat, tell us more.
Yep. So it happened last night about 4 a.m. Pacific time. Super exciting. The Ethereum 2.0 beacon chain is now up and running with something like 20,000 validators. That's something around 650,000 ETH have been staked into the chain. So that's, you know, at $600 a pop, that's a lot. The way it works is that you, in order to run a validator node, you essentially had to commit to running the node. You had to stake 32 ETH per validator node, and you had to commit to keeping it in there for a year and a half, or for upwards of 6 months. It's not exactly clear what the timing will be, but I mean, it was people kind of call it like an altruistic move. It's not purely altruistic, but at the end of the day, like, you had to put money in and you're not gonna be able to pull that money out for 6 months. If something horrific happens, there's no selling over the course of the next 6 months for, you know, any mining rewards or staking rewards that are coming through. So it's notable. I mean, it's a bit of an altruistic act. It's a lot of people that believe in the ecosystem putting money into it. And so that all happened. This was phase zero. There's really no transactions on this chain at this point. What will happen is over the next several phases is when transactions themselves actually start to get onto the chain. So right now it's pretty much I wouldn't say it's exactly empty, but it is a sort of empty chain that is just working, basically helping people flesh out the issues with their validators, making sure everything's working.
All right. So Yearn is joining forces with other protocols right and left. It was announced earlier today that Acropolis is merging forces with Yearn Finance.
Yeah. So Acropolis got picked up or got mentioned. Pickle got mentioned. SushiSwap got mentioned. I'm not really sure how to read this. I think, you know, Yearn certainly came out of the DeFi gate, or has come out of the DeFi summer with the... I'm not sure I would say the most money, but I mean, they really have a substantial war chest at this point. This is a really funny story because it was all over the news today. It was all over Twitter. People were making announcements. Some people call it an acquisition. Some people call it a merger. Some people call it just joining forces. There's not even companies behind a lot of these things. Like, Pickle does have a company behind it. It's a couple of developers just, riffing on funny meme coins. I mean, these aren't companies you can acquire and merge. But at the same time, obviously the development expertise working on these services is incredibly valuable and is very difficult to come by. So if you can bring together all the different disparate developers from these different projects and get them working on one thing, gosh, that is a really powerful movement. So there's still a lot of unclarity here. It's unclear if this is just everyone sort of chipping their time in together to work to build integrations with Yearn, to build out the Yearn platform, to bring what they built in their separate, dApps into Yearn. It's not clear at all if anyone's getting paid. And I don't know, they did make it clear that at least for Acropolis, there was no exchange of money, but that doesn't mean that they're not hiring the developers or something like that. I mean, that just means that they didn't buy the assets outright. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, Yearn obviously has a war chest. Andrej is a charismatic guy. He's done a great job building up his own brand as well as Yearn's brand, and has come out of the gate with a good product. So it will be very interesting to see what happens over time I think joining of forces is probably the best term here, because it really is just sort of, it's going to be getting developers together to work on on these problems in a maybe more structured, more collaborative way. And that's exciting. I mean, that's what everyone really wants to be doing here. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens.
Yeah. And two of the other protocols that were also joining forces were Cream and Cover on top of Pickle, Acropolis, and SushiSwap.
Yep.
And Sushi was up 30% today.
Yeah, which is like about what you would expect from like an acquisition, but makes absolutely no sense. I mean, people are treating like they treat the governance tokens like stocks, but I mean, they're just not like, I don't know how many times I have to say this. Like a governance token is not a stock. I mean, there's no ownership. There's nothing, especially for Sushi, there's just nothing there. So especially in something like this case where they're actually going to be moving away from their platforms, probably to Wi-Fi. I don't know. But it's nuts, but good for them.
All right. Next, the Venezuelan army has turned to Bitcoin mining as the company's economy is collapsing.
This is, you know, Venezuela is up there with Nigeria, with countries that are going to be big, you know, see the Bitcoinification of their economies relatively soon, potentially. I mean, no one really knows. But, you know, you can I just read something today. You can go and you can buy a pizza at any Pizza Hut in Venezuela with Dash. I know they had Pizza Hut in Venezuela, but that was the story, and I'm gonna not stick to it at all, but I'll see what they believe. So these are all places that are having huge. I mean, Venezuela has had, and ever since the collapse of kind of the oil prices and their own oil industry and the nationalization of their oil industry, I mean, they've had tremendous issue with their currency. So this is not at all to be unexpected. There's an enormous, you know, for every interesting story like this that we talk about in Venezuela, there is $100 million worth of USD that's being used. I mean, that it's essentially Venezuela is using USD for most of it. So, you know, we're not really there yet, but you can imagine a world where, because Venezuela has always had strict currency control laws, and it is illegal to use the USD in Venezuela. That doesn't stop anyone, but it is illegal. So you can certainly imagine countries like that actually preferring something like, you know, Bitcoin or Dash. I mean, Bitcoin's a bad example because the average fee for Bitcoin right now is like 1 month's salary for a lot of Venezuelans. So that's never going to work. But Bitcoin Cash, Dash, other currencies that are more focused on high throughput transaction, low fees, absolutely, you could imagine them taking root there. So, this is the future for when I think about the four buckets of cryptocurrencies. One of them is sort of the spend every day kind of cash of cryptocurrencies. I think that we'll see that leader start to emerge in one of these countries that's having currency problems.
Great. So next, Binance's trading volume reached $130 billion for November, a new monthly high.
It's nuts. Yeah. I mean, everyone, you hear stories, I mean, about people having trouble getting wires into their exchanges. I mean, the volume of money moving around through retail channels, which are not really used to these types of movements, is spectacular right now. So it is a incredible time for Bitcoin. It's down a little bit today, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's still a good price.
Still pretty good.
So Grayscale's Bitcoin Cash and Litecoin products are trading at premiums of more than 1,000%.
Yeah, and ETH,
I find
ETH
this
too, yeah.
Surprising.
This is I don't honestly know what is going on here. I could not tell you what exactly is happening. This has been, honestly, for most of Grayscale's existence, this has been the case, at least for the last year. They have been trading at an enormous premium. I don't know how to interpret this. I don't know what's going on here, but I will pontificate nonetheless. I think so. One part of this is you could look at this and analyze if this is retail appetite for crypto. Grayscale is not exactly a retail. Like, you couldn't call them up and get it. It's you know, high net worth individuals and things like that. So they can charge a bit of a premium because they can give access to crypto to through mechanisms or into whole investment vehicles that might not otherwise be able to get it. So there is a premium there, but you'd expect that premium to be like 10 to 20%, not 1,000%. So, you know, it's the other side is just, you know, you see Bitcoin somewhere and maybe people just sort of throw money at it. I don't know. I would say my general sense of this is that it's bullish. Every time I've seen this number, I've thought it's bullish. It's always occurred to me that this is a institutional leading edge indicator for interest, and when this starts collapsing to you know, no difference, that's when we can start to see that's when we'll start to see a actual price cap. So, you know, 10x price seems reasonable to me. 180K, let's do it. Okay. Right now.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today for us. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. And remember to check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one, everybody.